All right. The David Melach is now the David Melach Israel Chai Chai Vikayam. He is now the official king of Israel, and you know, all of the issues are behind him now. And there's no one who's arguing. He has been anointed, undoubtedly, and everything is good. So the next thing he wants to do is he wants to set up his palace as he began building last time, and everything about the government should be centralized in Yerushalayim. Now, if you remember way back when, this goes back to the beginning of Shmuel Aleph, where is the Aron Kodesh now? So the Aron Kodesh, let's go through the history. The Aron Kodesh originally was in the Mishkan, right? And that traveled to the desert. Then the Mishkan, when they first came over, right? The Aron, remember, held back the raging rivers of the Jordan. And then it was put into the Mishkan in Gilgal. And it remained there at the beginning. From there, they set it up in Shiloh. The Mishkan was in Shiloh, and it was in Shiloh for a very long time. Until, who remembers?
The Philistines.
The Philistines, correct. Very good. Until they made the mistake of taking it out to war, it was captured. And with it being captured, right, it was in the land of the Philistines. After a period of a few months, the Philistines realized they didn't really like this much. Right? So therefore, the Aron was brought back, and eventually it landed in Kiryat Yearim. If you remember that they moved it into a place which was further into the mountains, it was far away from the Plishti land. It was on the border of Yehuda and Binyamin, we discussed where it's supposed to be. But it was not yet in Yerushalayim. And that's where it remained for some time. And David said, it's time. Let's move it back to Yerushalayim.
Why did it go from... I don't remember why it went from Gilgal to
Gilgal in general was a very temporary type of thing. Gilgal was right over the Jordan River. It was right on the west bank of the Jordan. It's where they first set up before they went
right
to Jericho.
So how did they... What was
so
the decision?
Was a very temporary setup until they captured the land. Once they captured the land, then they set up in Shiloh, and it remained there for hundreds of years.
Got it.
Right. Eventually, after Shiloh was destroyed, they rebuilt the Mishkan. Right. This time in Nov, and that lasted for a while until Shaul wiped out the city of Nov. Right, so now David wants to do it all right. Right, eventually David wants to build a Beis HaMikdash, so he wants the Aron. So, beginning of Perek Vav, by Yosef O David as Kol Bachor be Yisrael Shoshim Aleph. So he goes and he gathers, right, another 30,000 soldiers. If you look at the Gemara number one on the source sheet, it says, "Ksiv v'Yosef o David es kol b'chor b'Yisrael shoshim elav Rabbi Brechya b'shem Rav Abba bar Kahana tishim elav zekeinim minei David b'yom echad." It says he actually on that day he appointed 90,000 people to have the status of zekeinim, of the elders. Lo minei Achitofel imayim, but Achitofel did not make the cut. We're going to discuss Achitofel later on. We'll put him to the side for now. Yosef O David. So Va Yosef Tlosin Od Tlosin. Right? So it's Yosef Va Yosef. That should be twice. And Od is another one. The Kaya Tlosin Have Tishin. Right? At Motzi Bishashim David. Losei Aron Bris Hashem O Nosu Ketora. Ayikivu Al Aron Bris Alokim Al Agol Chadasha. So this is in order that there should be a proper way of bringing back the Aron. He goes and he appoints all of these officers that should join him in bringing back the Aron. So, Vayakam Vayerach David V'chol Ram Asher Ito Mibala Yehuda Laros Mishem Eis Aron Elohim Asher Nikra Shem Shem Adonai Tzvos Yosef Kruv Molov. So he goes and tells all these people, let's get together and bring over the Aron of God, that the name of Hashem, our God, is written upon, that who sits among the cherubs is written about it. That's a very odd way of describing it. So we look at the Gemara in number 2. The Gemara in Baba Basra says, Amar Rav Huna, Mai Diksiv, Asher Nikra, Shem, Shem, Hashem, Tzvakos, Yoshev, Akruvim, Alav, Malamed, Sheluchos, Vishivrei, Luchos, Munachim, Ba'aram. Why does it say Shem twice? Because in the Aron, what was in the Aron? Well, we learn from here, according to this opinion, that not only were the tablets there, well, which tablets were there? The first tablets or the second tablets?
Well, the first tablets are there.
Well, what happened to those tablets?
The second tablets are there, and I thought the broken ones.
So it says both of them are there, right? It says shame, shame, because you have the second tablets, which are the actual ones, the full ones, and the pieces of the first tablets are there as well.
Also, right.
Right, so this is where we learned that from. You see that everything was there together in the Aron.
Didn't Shaul grab the Luchos and take him back to
Correct. Shaul grabbed the Luchos, but when they got the Aron back, they put the Luchos back in the Aron.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that makes sense.
Right? So Shaul had all the time that the Pelishtim had the Aron, they didn't have the Luchos. But when they decided to send back the Aron, we put the Luchos back in it.
Okay, cool.
Gimel Vayakivas Aron Elohim Es HaGolach HaDasha VaYisa'u MiBeis Avinadav Asher BeGiva VeUza VaAchyov B'nei Avinadav Nogim Es HaGolach HaDasha. So they take it from the house of Avinadav, where it was originally, and Uzzah and the other sons of Avinadav are leading it in a new wagon. So what do? They have a wagon they built specially for this, and they take the wagon and they're bringing the Aron on this wagon. Vayisa'u mibeis Avinadav asher b'giva im Aron Elohim v'achyo halechiv nei Aron. So this all, since it was in the house of Avinadav, all of his sons, including Uzzah, one of his sons, are leading the wagon with the Aron from the house of Avinadav to Yerushalayim.
So it's humanly, it's being pulled by humans, not by any animals, basically.
Right, but it's on a wagon. That's
a on a wagon pulled by human beings.
Right. Right, so now the fact that it's on a wagon, we'll see very shortly, is an important nugget of information. So, who's there? Everybody's there, remember? V'David v'chol beis Yisrael mesachim v'fnei Adonai v'chol atzei v'roshim v'kina roshim v'nevarim v'tupim v'manalim v'tzaltzalim. So they have David and an entire marching band are going in front of it. Right, if you ever saw when there's a... There's actually a business a guy has in New York. He runs Hachnasa Sefer Torahs. Whenever Sefer Torah is, let's say, given to a shul, so there's this special gadget they have, and they put the Torah on it, and they play music, etc. So,
get an agala.
So let me see if I can. Let me do a quick. Search here if I can find what they use nowadays. Okay, here it is. There is, believe it, I will share my screen. You're not going to believe this, but there's actually something called TorahTruck.com. You can't make this up. So this guy here, let me just.
I'm going to ask you to describe it a little. Is it a truck?
It hasn't worked yet. Oh, here it is.
Okay, Judy, you want to try it? It's this.
Okay. Oh, wow. It's like a little trailer kind of thing. with, whoops, where'd it go?
With a hitch to a truck or something?
A second.
This guy's got everything. He's got torches and flags, music in your shul, a chuppah canopy, beautiful trucks, yeah. Music sound system, signs and lights.
Catering.
Who could ask? Want to see the latest events?
Chorus inside, going down the street. Have like a thing on top, a Torah crown with lights spinning around and lights and whatever.
So it's in the bed of a truck, basically.
Right. I think right now you can't see because you're on the phone, but right now Alan's on the phone ordering this for Sheva Brachas. You just can't see it.
Indianapolis, huh?
I don't think.
Yeah. So. They better start driving now. It doesn't seem like it moves that quickly. They're on their way. They can do everything up or through Shabbos Shevet Brachos. You can do it all on the truck.
Mm-hmm.
So this is what they're doing, right? This idea is based on what David did, right? You're going to move the Aron, right? It's got to be with pomp and circumstance. It's got to be done in a proper way. So they have all these musical instruments and all these people and all the dignitaries. They're all going with it. Now, you find out now that it's being pulled by oxen. One of the oxen trips, and it looks like the Aron's about to fall. Uzzah sees that it's about to fall, dives to catch the Aron before it falls. God does not take this well. For doing this, God strikes him down and he dies on the spot.
So what's the indiscretion?
So what is the indiscretion? So let's take a look at the sources. So if we'll start for number three just says, Lalos Misham Vigomer. So Rashi makes the comment that that even though the Aron was in the possession of the Plishtim, it has not lost any of its holiness. Let's skip over to number five, the Gemara in Sota. The Gemara in Sota discusses exactly what happened here. So what happened? This goes back for a while, but we learned it together. If you remember, when they crossed over the Jordan, they were doing this, if you remember, the month of Nisan. Nisan, as we know in Colorado, is a time when the rivers are at their highest. Right, because you have the entire snowpack, right? But
right.
As we have the snowback from our mountains are melting at that point, and the rivers and Clear Creek, right, or Glenwood Canyon. There are certain years you can't even go right water rafting because the water is too high; it's too strong.
Very high,
correct?
Very high water.
So too, the Jordan River at that point is also at its strongest. All the snows from the Hermon are melting and coming down. Right? So it was at that point where we were about to cross the Jordan. So how were we going to get all these people across the Jordan? So it was a miracle. The Kohanim went with the Aron and they stood in the Jordan and they stopped the water.
Right.
After they stopped the water, everybody crossed. When they're done crossing, they stepped back from where they came from and the water flowed again. But now we have a problem, the Gemara tells us. You're going to have all of Bnei Yisrael are in Israel, but the Aron and the Kohanim are still in Jordan. How are they going to get across? So it says, Nasa Aronis Nosa V'Amar. The people holding the Aron flew over the Jordan, right? The Aron flew and took them with him. So, Va'al Devar Zeh Neh Nash Uzzah. Third line, it says, and this is why Uzzah was punished. Shenemar V'yava Garin Kidon, V'yishach Uzzah Yodolecho Zeh Aron. So he went, he thought the Aron was going to fall. So he dove to stop it. Amro HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Uzzah, Nosav Nasa Asmolo Kol Shekein. God says, if the Aron was able to carry the people that were holding it, you think it can't carry itself? Vayichar Af Hashem B'Uzzah V'yakehu Shem Al HaShal. So we discuss what happens, and because of this, he was punished. Vayam Hashem Im Aron Helokim, and he died there together with the Aron. Amar Rav Yochanan Uzzah Ben Barom Haba. So Rav Yochanan says, even though he died dead, he still had his share in the world to come. As it says, Shenamar Im Aron Helokim, Ma Aron La'olam Kayam, Af Uzzah Barom Haba. Just like the Aron lives on, Uzzah lived on.
So the ark ark did not hit the ground, basically.
The ark didn't, and it would have never hit the ground. The ark doesn't need, the ark is miraculous. Now, what led to this? Why did God make it that the ox tripped and it was about to fall, and because of that, what caused all this to happen?
Is it a test?
So he says, the Gemara goes on. So David was, of course, about to see, very upset about this. Like, oh my goodness, here I was planning this great thing. I was wanting to bring the Aron, and it leads to someone dying. If he had a look of shock on his face, he would turn to ashen. So he said, so why did God do it to them? We have three lines from the bottom of the nation. Nikol Adivrei Torah Zemiro. Shenema Zemiros Harichu Kecha Beveis Migurai. David says in Tehillim that the words of the Torah are like songs to him. So Hashem said, songs? You call them songs? Dvar Adivrei Torah Shekasa Behem Is Atef Einecha Bo Veinenu. You can't even possibly grasp it. You say it's a song. Because this, I'll make you trip up in a halacha that every kid even knows. What's that halacha? The halacha is you're never supposed to put the Aron on a wagon. How are you supposed to move the Aron?
They're supposed to just carry it.
You're supposed to carry it on your shoulders. The men are supposed to carry it. Mm-hmm. That's the story. He said, David, you messed up here. Because you messed up, it led to this.
And how would David know this?
How would he know that you're not supposed to carry it?
Put it on an agala.
Right? Because that is the halacha. It says it in the Chumash.
I'm saying, how would David... This is the first I've heard of it. Had David heard this halacha before?
Absolutely. It's a pasuk in Chumash.
I see.
You look at the Rambam in number 6. The Rambam says it's halacha shreif. Be'eshe molich in asaro mimakam umakam. E'e molich in asaro al behema. V'lo al ha'golos. Ela mitzvah nota al katef. The Rambam says in number 6, whenever you move the Aron, for whatever reason, you don't put it on an animal, you don't put it in a wagon, but you carry it on your shoulders.
Okay, where is that in the Chumash?
What? It's in
where is that in the
Chumash? It's by Midbar Zion, Numbers 7. Want the exact pasuk?
I'm looking it up.
Give me a second. I will open my handy dandy Chumash I have here in my excellent office. It's good to be back in the office now that I am no longer in quarantine. I would say Perek Zion.
Yeah, what pasuk?
Pasuk Tes. Seven, nine.
When you're at war and you're land against your aggressor, am I in the wrong place?
You're in the wrong place. Are you in Numbers?
Yes, 10. Numbers 10.
Number 7.
Number 7, sorry. That's the difference.
There is the rub.
Yep. 7, 9?
Yes.
Okay, hold on. 7, 9. But to the Kohites?
Yes.
But to the Kohites he did not give any, since theirs was the service of the most sacred objects. Their poterage was by shoulder. I got it.
Got it? They potered with their shoulder.
I get it, but it's you have to really know what they're talking about here.
I mean, but this is David HaMelech, you know, he ain't no slouch.
I get that, but it's kind of buried in there is all I'm saying, buried in that.
I mean, whatever, you know, we just read it last year in Parshas Naso, and the year before that, I think we read it in Parshas Naso, and the year before that, I think we read it in Parshas Naso. And if I had to guess, we're going to read it next year again.
And probably the year after that.
I don't know. I haven't seen the Edo schedule doesn't go that far ahead, so I can't tell yes or no.
I think it's a safe guess.
Yeah, okay. But, you know, I try not to guess. You know, I just try to go.
The thing is, I understand now afterwards that it's so clear. When I read that in the 7th chapter, I don't know that they're talking about the Aron HaKodesh.
So you're probably not ready to be king of Israel yet.
Probably not.
Right. Come back in 6 months. We'll test you again.
Okay.
But maybe you can be president of the Vitos. We'll see.
Let's not get ahead of ourselves.
One step at a time. Right? So if you look at the Rambam says that this is a halacha. And he goes further. There seems to be a little bit of commentary that the Rambam is offering in his halachic work. And he says, Lefisha shachar David v'nasa ala agala. And because David forgot about this, nifretz peretz uza. That's why this peretz uza happened. Ela mitzvah insa'a kotef shev ki avodas ha-kodesh leim ba-kotef yisau. The Rambam quotes this. Now the question is, it is a kind of a basic mistake. How did David blow it? So the Radak.
Yeah. Now that you said that, yes. How could he mess up so big?
This like there isn't a second opinion here, like he was following a minority opinion. No. So how did he do it? So you look at number 7 on the sheet, the Radak says, Ve'ina sheh shoga David, v'zeh ha-davar, mikra mafurash. Like, how could he forget something that's written in the Chumash? He explains as follows. So what were we talking about there in Bamidbar 7? Right? I'm, of course, the first job I ever had teaching in YU, I taught the Book of Numbers. Actually, my first job, 25 years ago, I started teaching here. I didn't have such a spanking good office in those days. So I walked in the first day and I said, gentlemen, we're going to be learning the Book of Numbers. It counts as a Bible requirement and a mathematics requirement. And I think they took me seriously. Oh, wow, that's great. That's a twofer.
Numbers.
Book of Numbers. It's great.
I don't have to take geometry.
Yeah, that's it. No geometry for me, thank you. I took the Book of Numbers already. I'll be good for this. Get thrown into literature because it was a book.
Yeah.
Why is it talking about this? So it's talking about, if you remember, at the Chanukah HaMishkan, when they first opened the Mishkan, the Nisim, the heads of the 12 tribes, brought gifts. What gifts did they bring? They brought agalot. They brought wagons. And it says that here's how we're going to divide the 6 wagons. Right? 4 wagons are going to these people. 2 wagons are going to that people. The Kahat, Gershon Merari get 4 and 2. Kahat gets 0. Why does Kahat get 0? Because they're carrying the Aron. That's got to be on the shoulders. So David thought, yeah, when the rest of the Mishkan is going on a wagon, we have to show that this is holier than that. But when you're moving the Aron on its own and it's not being compared to anything, then perhaps you don't need a wagon. That's what he was thinking. And not only that, but let's go back a little bit of a test. If you remember, at the beginning of Shmuel, eventually the Plishtim returned the Aron. How do they return the Aron?
They sent it with animals on an agalah.
Right.
And just with no driver, just sent it in back into the country.
Right, they sent it on a wagon. So he said, right. Hey. So that's why he said, oh, you see, it doesn't always have to be done by person. Sometimes God thinks it's okay to use a wagon.
Well, I wouldn't go that far. The Plishtim are not the
right,
model
for
us.
You probably don't want to follow the Plishtim in the opinion here.
Right. They're not the model for us.
No. You probably want to. That sounds reasonable. So that's the story. So that's the reason why, you know, the Radak suggests that David made a mistake here. And because he made this mistake, that led to this. Now what do you do? What do we do now? We have the Aram. It's on a wagon, and I've got a dead guy here.
Kind of kills the spirit.
I was Mesader Kedushin once at a member of Eidos, and in middle of the chuppah, somebody passed out, a great aunt, down for the count.
Whoa.
And the question was, what do we do about this? So the father of the groom said, we have to stop the ceremony. And I said, no way. Hatzol will come, take her out. God willing, she'll be okay. But this is their wedding, and we're not sharing the simcha. And you just keep on going.
Kind of stepped over her. And
I said, and don't tell anybody. Keep it quiet. I had the chassan and kallah facing the other way. They had no idea what was going on. I said, for pictures, turn her here a little bit. Yeah, you look great. That's a good sign. These are members of the East Denver Orthodox Synagogue. And Baruch Hashem, the great aunt recovered well. She just hadn't been drinking. She was okay. Took her out, a little fresh air. Well, what
okay,
are you supposed to do here?
That's not the death of a human being. So I'm curious to know what happens.
Correct. So what are we going to do? So Dove is kind of stuck here because the problem is it's not only like, whoa, wait a second. We've got this body lying here. But also there's a clear sign from God that he's not happy. And if he's not happy, we probably should not be having this party now.
Right.
So, Ches vayichal David al asher paratz Adonai peretz beuzah vayikra mokom ahu peretz uzah leyom hazeh. So he's obviously very upset, very distraught. And he names the place Peretz Uzah. And that's the name that it remained because this is where we had this rupture with Uzah.
And what does Peretz mean?
Rupture.
Uh-huh.
Right? Like the name Peretz is from Ma Paratz the Peretz. Remember Parshas Vayishlach?
Yeah.
So if you remember, one hand comes out first. It was the hokey pokey birth. Remember that?
Yes.
Tomorrow's having twins. Put the right hand in, take the right hand out. Right? And then
yes.
The first kid does that. The other one sneaks around.
Right.
Cuts left, deeks right, into the end zone, right out there, no problem. Touchdown Broncos. Right?
So is that why
they
we have the name?
That child Peretz, because he kind of like got in there first. Like he was somehow able to split the defense.
So we call that a rupture?
Something like that. I mean, you want to look it up? Should we want to know the official translation?
Sure, why not?
Okay, so let's go to Bereishis. I will open my handy-dandy Chumash here.
Bereishis, which parak?
1 second. It's in the 30s.
Uh-huh. I can go there.
I believe. Oh, it's later. A little later. Sorry. It's by Yeshiv. It's David because we already sold Yosef.
Are you honing in on a chapter yet?
38, I'm thinking.
Okay.
38:29. That is my final offer.
Oh, it's at the very end. Wait, I'm in the wrong book. Sorry.
This seems to be an ongoing problem we're having.
My pages are very thin. I ended up in Exodus. Sorry.
Okay. Let's do an Exodus from Exodus.
Right. Exodus from Exodus. 38, Ma?
38:29.
At the end of the pair. But just then he drew back his hand and out came his brother. And she said, "What a breach you have made for yourself." So he was named Peretz. Afterwards, his brother came out, and out on whose hand was the crimson thread. And his
That's
name.
That's right, 30. You're already reading the next pasuk. You've overstayed your
breach,
welcome.
Breach.
Sorry.
Right, so breach. That's the word they're looking for.
Mm-hmm. Breach. Okay.
Okay. So this calls the breach of Uzzah. So so David's upset. Tess, vayira David asad Adonai b'yom ahu v'yomer eich yavoh erai Aaron Adonai. He said, "Well, now what am I supposed to do? I got to get the Aaron from there to here. How's this going to happen?" Lo ava David lasir elav es Aaronai al ir David v'yatehu ad David beis oveda domagiti. So what did he do? He left it in the house of somebody else along the way. He knew, at this point, I can't continue. So he puts it in the house of this guy whose name is Oved Edom Hagiti. It's an interesting name. Oved Edom Hagiti.
Are you saying with a G? G?
With a G.
In the middle or T in the middle?
T in the middle.
G-I-T-I. Giti. Like Giti.
Giti. Okay.
Right, isn't that one of Danny Wolf's kids?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, good. That's the one. So, looking at source number 8, discusses this fellow. And he says, "B'yad nisyar David lavi etzlo shenema v'yira David es Hashem b'yom ahu v'yom eich yavo erai Aaron Hashem. Ma osa David? Yitav beis ovid edam lamo cham shenema." He said, "What am I going to do?" He said, "Just put it in the nearest house of this guy." And he says, "Shenema v'lo ova David l'asir elav es Aaron Hashem. V'yateu David beis ovid edam hagiti. Levi haya oved edom hagiti. Shechein, if this guy was a Levi, actually. Shechein miyachsa ima leviim. V'oved edom ve'echav samach beis. V'lama nikra shmo oved. Why are they called oved? Ayde sha'ava lifnei Hashem kiroi. He worshipped God. He was a Levi. Did what he was supposed to do. Edom shehedim p'nei David. David said, the Aaron, I'm so scared, it's going to kill me. This guy, Ovid, says, no problem, I'll just take care of it right. And he received great blessing for that, we'll see. Why is he called Hagiti? Because that's where he came from. He came from Gat. That was the name of the place.
That's what you call I would have thought a Gatite, not a Giti.
Well, now you know.
And now I know.
So, Vayeshev Aaron Adonai beis oved Edom hagiti shalosh chadashim vayivarech anayis oved Edom ves kol beiso. And the Aaron remained there for 3 months, and he got tremendous blessing. What is the tremendous blessing? Looking at number 9. So first it says, if this guy who took care of the Aron, which is pretty low maintenance, you don't got to feed it, you don't got to change the sheets or anything, got so much blessing, a person who has over a Talmud Chacham in their house, how much more so that you'll be blessed for that? So, my he bracha shebercha, what blessing did he get? I'm Rav Yehuda Bazvida, zil chomas vishmona karosav sheyodu shisha shisha bekeres echon. He had 8 daughter-in-laws, and each one gave birth to sextuplets.
Oh my God.
Wow. That's a handful. We're blessings like that. No, that would mean for me. No, the 48 really? Daughters. They'd all be girls. I know it. It's inevitable. So, in fact, you received this tremendous blessing. Now, as soon as they saw that Oved Edom was having this great blessing, it was clear that everything was better. God was obviously not upset. Now, Yugad Lamelach David Lemor, Beirach Adonai is based Oved Edom, Ves Kol Asheru, Ba'avor Aron Elohim. Vayech David Vayalas Aron Elohim, be based Oved Edom, Yer David Besimcha. He said, okay, so I'll go pick it up, and now again, we'll try to bring it to Yerushalayim. With great joy. Vayehi Tzadu Nosei Aron Adonai, Shisha Tzadim, Vayizbach Shor Maris. What would they do? They would go six steps, and then they would offer karbanos. As they went. And David was dancing in front of the Aron with all of his strength, by showing how excited he was. And as they bring it, they're blowing the shofars, etc. They're just a tremendous amount of excitement as they bring the Aron. And so Michal, the daughter of Shaul, who also happens to be the wife of David, looks out of the window and sees him dancing like a madman. And she does not think this is appropriate for a king. Vayaviyo es Aron Adonai ve'atzigo oso b'mekomo b'socha o'er asher nata lo David v'yal David oros l'fnei Adonai u'shlamim. Finally, it gets to where it's supposed to be, and he offers all of these karbanos to show how grateful he is that they're able to put the Aron back in Yerushalayim. V'yichal David me'arosa olov ha'ashlamim v'yivarech es ha'am b'shem Adonai tzvaos. When this finishes, he blesses everybody. How lucky we are. Everybody gets a swag bag for showing up at this. Right? What do they get? They get a loaf of bread. They get a fair amount of meat. They get some wine.
A raisin cake.
Right? They go and they get, this is it. This is, you know, as exciting as the Kiddush to go and Eidos was, this actually might have outdone it by a little bit. This is mamish like giving out chili dogs. This is the greatest joy one could imagine. This is as exciting as the Chabad barbecue at the Rockies game. This is really right up there. You can imagine such a thing.
The food sounds great. The swag bags sound great. What I want to understand is exactly where did they put the Aron HaKodesh in Yerushalayim?
So again, they had set up a tent.
Uh-huh.
A mishkan. Meaning that up until the building of the Beis HaMikdash, there was a mishkan, a tent, had been for hundreds of years now, right?
Right. So this mishkan was at the top, you know, at the very top of the mountain?
So no, again, it is not on the Har HaBayis. It is not necessarily on the Har HaBayis.
Okay.
In fact, David does not get ownership of the place of the Beis HaMikdash until the very end of the book. Basically, so Joel ends with David finally acquiring the Temple Mount.
So I'm asking, where
it was. Spoiler alert. I don't know why we're reading it anymore now that we know what the ending is.
My question is, where was this location? Do we have any idea?
It must have been someplace near his palace. It was in what we call the old city, undoubtedly. It was in Ir David.
Okay. Right, the city of David. Got it.
But I don't know more, and I can tell you it was not on the Temple Mount.
Okay, that's what I wanted to know.
So
back to the
finally he got it there. And by Yashav David Levarech as Beso Vatse Michal Bashol Likras David. And his wife says, I don't know, you read the English translation for the sharper words, but we'll just say that she was less than pleased with the show going on here. Right? He gets that, she says, Well, looky here. Like, here you are. Just showing yourself off in public.
She's very kind.
That in a way that is unbefitting of the king. David does not react well to her not reacting well. By Yomer David al Michal lifnei Adonai Asher Barchar bime avicha v'chol beisol letzavos osin nagid al ha'am Adonai lisol v'sechachti lifnei Adonai. I was dancing before God. You know the God who chose me over your father and the rest of his family? Yeah, that God. You can think whatever you want of me, but I am honored to be dancing in front of the mothers of Israel. And Michal did not have a child till the day she died.
And do we read that to understand she didn't have relations with him, or that she just never had a child?
She just never had a child. Now we're going to have to, let's a few things we're going to have to look at here. One is number 11, I throw in a source special for you, Patty. This Michal, who does not end up looking so good here, the Gemara comments that Michal bas Kushi ha'isam maneches tefillin v'olmichu b'chachamim. She actually used to wear tefillin, this Michal. She was somewhat of a strong-headed woman. No one ever told her not to. The Medrash discusses this at length in number 12. The Medrash says, v'yeshev davar levarech es beisal v'ol higi. He never made it in the door. His wife met him as he was entering. If you want to act this way, do it in private. But to do it publicly?
Wait a minute. That went from who she was and what she did to a reprimand about tefillin?
No, two things. One is two different sources. The first source commented that again, she was very much a headstrong woman. She
was villain.
Note, that's source number one. Source number
got
two
it.
Is discussing what happened when David got home that day.
I see.
Before he got in the door.
She was already on him.
Right. Kaven shenigdashagamra dvarah. When she finished, David responded as follows. V'chir of neymer basva dam sachakti. Did I dance in front? Did I act this way in front of a human king? This is the king of kings. And if your father was a greater tzaddik than me, if he was right, I wouldn't be here right now.
Right.
These are fighting words.
Yes, he's angry.
Yeah, this is not a way to preserve your marriage, by the way.
Right, this is not a happy marriage at the moment.
At the moment, it is definitely not. I was on a Din Torah once on a divorce not so long ago, and you know, first you got to get a feeling like what went wrong here. So she said that on her first yahrzeit for her father, She lit the yahrzeit candle, and her husband lit a cigarette on the yahrzeit candle.
Oh, that's passive aggressive.
No, that's aggressive aggressive, actually.
Oh, wow.
I'm not the therapist here, but I think that's a problem.
Definitely a problem. I was trying to make it nice by saying it was passive aggressive.
Yeah, no, no. So this, in fact, it was strong words.
Yeah.
And he said, "Vayom adavel licha v'nei Hashem amrei avicha yemelach al Yisrael v'vad v'ani nagid al Yisrael yavi Yehuda. I have a greater kingdom than your father did. Your father did Yisrael, I Yisrael and Yehuda." And he goes on and he says to her, and I don't care. He said, "And these, I'm doing it in front of the mothers. You're making fun of the mothers." Said, "How have I wish that my chelek in Olam Haba should be as great as these Jewish mothers."
Wow.
Don't you start up with the Jewish mothers. So, and in fact, based on that, you have an understanding why the punishment she got was.
She was never a mother.
She wasn't a mother. Now, skipping to 15. Right? The Gemara says, did she really never have children? If you look at it, it says, "Ksiva micha basho rohoyo avrat ad yom mosa." Amar av chizda ad yom mosa rohoyo ra. B'yom mosa hoyo ra. She did have a child, but she died in childbirth. That's one opinion. Until the day of her death, she never had a child, but she had there. Michti banim hecha kachoshev rubu chevron. V'ilu ma'asad v'chob Yerushalayim. But wait a second. That doesn't really work out. It seems that she had children earlier on. So the Gemara ultimately says that she had children, but from that point on, she never had another child.
Oh, so she had children earlier by David.
Correct. She had children prior, but she never had children again. That was her punishment for this.
Do we know the names of those children?
We do, actually. They appeared earlier on.
Okay.
But
I just didn't remember.
Yes. One last source we'll do, and then we'll call it. The Rambam describes the Simchas Beis HaShoeva.
Okay.
It looks in general, right? The type of joy a person is supposed to have when they're performing a mitzvah. So the Rambam says in Hilchas Sukkah, "A Simcha sheyisamech adam ba'asiyas ha-mitzvah ba'avas ha-kel shetivahem avodah gedolahi." You have to try very hard to be happy when you do the mitzvahs. And if you are not as happy as you could be punished for that. As it says in the Tochacha, we are punished. Why? Because we did not go and worship Hashem with joy. If a person says, "It's not, I should not be showing such outward emotion," you're an idiot. If a person says, "I don't care what I look like, I will just show all my joy in public," that's wonderful. What's the case? Here it is. And in fact, this is a halachic point that David is making, that it is important that a person show always the great joy you have in doing a mitzvah. David was right, Michal was wrong. And for this, David went on for a successful kingdom, and unfortunately, Michal was punished for it. We will continue next week.
Can I ask you one other kind of just a detail question?
I imagine you could.
I'm going to. So the question is, we have a very clear description about what's happening in front of the Aron HaKodesh as it's being carried down, even to the point of the sacrifices that are being